Welcome to episode 16 of the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Ryan, here to bring you music reviews from music lovers. And welcome to my best of 2017 episode. 2017 was a great year for music and a great year for me as a podcaster doing music reviews because I feel like I broadened my horizon somewhat as far as my, my musical exploration, and I also feel that I've learned a lot doing this podcast about really digging in to the albums that I listen to and figuring out, you know, just what I like the most about them and just what I don't like. So thank you everybody for hanging in there with me, and here's to hopefully another year or so of Radio Live Transmission. In March I'll be hitting the 1 year anniversary of the podcast, but it certainly feels as if I've been doing it for a year. Kind of hard to believe, you know, how many hours of material I've logged already on this podcast. So I'm happy. I'm happy to do it, and I'm happy that there's people that are willing to listen to it. So, again, thank you. All right, so let's get into the best of 2017. This will be split up into three parts. First, I'm going to give you a list of honorable mentions, you know, some records that didn't make my top 20. And I'll just mention those. And then in the second part, I'm going to talk about a few EPs from this year that I liked, which I didn't include on my top 20 only because I reserved my top 20 for albums, you know, for LPs. And I figured I would have just a separate section for EPs that I really enjoyed this year, or from 2017, I should say. And in the last part, I will talk about my top 20 records of 2017. Records 20 through 11 I'll just talk about very briefly, and then when we get into the top 10 I'll talk about those in a little bit more depth. So all right, so let's get to it then. As far as honorable mentions from this year, I'm gonna break it down this way. Basically any album that I talked about on an episode of the podcast so far from 2017 that I, you know, recommended people listen to, I didn't include on this list because I figured the list would be way too long. I only included records on this list that I didn't review for the podcast for whatever reason, just because they didn't fit into my schedule. I didn't know about them when they came out, found out about them later, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, here we go. So the first honorable mention is from the Liverpool mostly instrumental rock band Alpha Male Tea Party, and that's a record called Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, that came out this year. That's a good one. The next honorable mention is from the longtime sort of speed death black shape-shifting metal kings, the Black Dahlia Murder. That's an album that was called Nightbringers that was really good from this year. The next honorable mention is from the Massachusetts sludge metal band, I guess I'd call them, Chained to the Bottom of the Ocean. It's an album called Decay and Other Hopes Against Progress. The next honorable mention is from a Swedish female artist who goes by the name, I believe it's either pronounced Demon or Demen. It's spelled D-E-M-E-N, and the record is called Nectar. That's a good record to check out. Next honorable mention is from the legendary Gary Numan. He released an album called Savage in 2017. Very good album. Happy that Gary's still going strong, 30-odd years in the game. The next honorable mention is from the German sort of retro psych rock band, if you will, Cadaver. And it's an album called Rough Times. That was a great album. And then the next four records are actually all from the same band, which is the Australian psych rock band King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, who definitely win two awards, one for the On the Surface, probably the dumbest band name I've ever heard. But it's also one of the... it sticks in my brain more than probably any other band name I've ever heard in my life. So so it's sort of a win-win, I guess, for them. but they released five albums this year. Pretty ridiculous. All unique, you know, all sort of exploring a different sort of genre or avenue, I guess, of psych rock, you could say. So the first record that they released this year was called Flying Microtonal Banana. That was pretty cool. Then they released an album called Murder of the Universe, which was more of a pseudo concept album, and that one was really good too. Then they released an album called Sketches of Brunswick East, which they collaborated with Mild High Club. That's M-I-L-D, Mild High Club, which was more of a sort of a jazzy record. And then they also released an album called Polygond Wanna Land. I'll spell that out for you. It's P-O-L-Y-G-O-N-D W-A-N-A-L-A-N-D, which was another great record. They actually released a fifth record, I believe it was on New Year's Eve, or right before, maybe the day before New Year's Eve, which was called Gumboot Soup, G-U-M-B-O-O-T, Soup. And as far as I know, that album is comprised of material that didn't make it onto the other four records. Apparently they had enough material. I mean, that's pretty amazing. That they had an album of extra material that didn't fit on the other four. But anyway, all four of those records are worth checking out, and they're, you know, different enough that, you know, it doesn't become redundant. So the next record that is an honorable mention is from the funeral doom band Loss, and the album is called Horizonless. The next honorable mention is from the Wu-Tang Clan stalwart Mastakilla. And it's an album called Loyalty is Royalty. In my humble opinion, this album kicks the shit out of the Wu-Tang, in quotes, Wu-Tang record, The Saga Continues from this year. So yeah, definitely check out Mastakilla if you have any sort of, you know, Wu-Tang inclinations. next honorable mention is the Ad Violence EP from Nine Inch Nails. Pretty exciting record, and I'd like to throw the EP that Trent Reznor released at the end of 2016 on this list too, because it came out so late, you know, in December 2016, which is called Not the Actual Events. So check both of those EPs out if you haven't, Ad Violence and Not the Actual Events. Those are both great EPs. And also, next honorable mention is an album called Condition from the Bristol, UK band Spectres. It's spelled S-P-E-C-T-R-E-S. There's a few different bands with the name Spectres, so just to clear up confusion. It's a great noise rock record. Also, I would like to, on this list, the next honorable mention is an album called Common as Light and Love Are Red Valleys of Blood from the artist Sunkill Moon, who is also known as Mark Kozelek. That's a great record. It's a double record. It's 2 hours long. It's a great sort of, you know, folk record. It seems like Mark Kozelek is embracing more of a sort of pseudo Bob Dylan, you know, with rambling vocals style, which, you know, an album that's 2 hours worth of that sort of material seems pretty daunting. But it's actually a great album, and it's not hard to get through if you have some patience. So the next honorable mention is from the Alaskan metalcore legends 36 Crazy Fists, who released an album called Lanterns in 2017. That's a great metalcore record. And the next honorable mention is from an Australian sort of sludge slash post-metal band called Ilva. That's spelled Y-L-V-A, and the record is called Meta. Pretty cool record. And the last honorable mention is a record called Malina, which is spelled M-A-L-I-N-A, from the band Leprous. That's L-E-P-R-O-S, Leprous. This album most likely would have made it into my top 20, if not my top 10. But unfortunately, I did not find out about this record until sort of late in 2017, and I didn't start delving into it until maybe a few weeks ago. So unfortunately, even though I'm sure my opinion of it is going to keep rising because I can't stop listening to it, it didn't make the top 20, but you can sort of assume that would maybe we'll grandfather it in afterwards or something. But anyway, so that concludes the list of honorable mentions for 2017. So now we will head into the section where I talk about a few EPs that I enjoyed very much from this year. The first one is the EP Scathe. That's S-C-A-T-H-E, Scathe, from Los Angeles. Post-hardcore, sort of industrial, electronic band. They're hard to pin down. Silver Snakes, whose singer and guitarist, Alex Estrada, has appeared on the podcast a couple of times. The last episode that he appeared on, we actually talked about this new EP, Scathe, and we talked about Marilyn Manson's new album. So you can refer to that episode. I believe it was episode 13. But Scathe is a great EP. It starts off with a great track called Follow Your Lead. It's an original track, which really shows how Silver Snakes are going from, you know, an album like 2016's Saboteur, which was my favorite record from that year, you know, which had, you know, electronic elements that they were really trying to work into the sound. And Scathe definitely feels like a bridge in between that record and, you know, wherever they're headed next, really sort of pushing the electronic industrial feel of it to the nth degree in a very cool way. So after the first track, Follow Your Lead, then there are actually three covers, which are a cover of the classic Duran Duran song Come Undone. Then there's also a cover of the classic Garbage track, Number One Crush. And then the last cover is of the classic Ministry song, Burning Inside, which are all great covers. And, you know, it's a kind of a good variety of sound, good variety of, you know, source material to use. So those are really cool covers. And then the EP is closed off with a remix of a song called Charmer, which was off that album Saboteur that I mentioned briefly just a moment ago, which is really cool. It's remixed by one of the members of Silver Snakes. I believe it's the drummer. And yeah, so that's a really cool EP. Definitely check that out. The next EP that I'd like to talk about is an EP called Pyrrhic Victory from the West Virginia metalcore band Zao. That's Z-A-O. And I have come to love Zao's album from 2016, which was called The Well-Intentioned Virus, so much more than I initially anticipated. I know I liked it the first time I listened to it, but it sort of took me, it took me five or six listens to it to really begin to understand exactly what they were going for, and for me to really start loving it. And Pyrrhic Victory sounds very much like an extension of The Well-Intentioned Virus, but it doesn't feel like some EPs feel that come out, you know, shortly after full-length albums, or maybe a year after a band's full-length album. It doesn't feel like leftover material. It doesn't feel like songs that they just had nothing to do with and decided to release just, you know, for shits and giggles. it feels like an extension of The Well-Intentioned Virus. It has a very similar sound. I think Pyrrhic Victory may actually be a little bit heavier in its sound and a little bit dirtier in its sound than The Well-Intentioned Virus, which is saying something because that record sounds pretty damn dirty on its own. And it's just ferocious. Zao is always ferocious. I mean, Daniel Wayant's vocals are just incredible. And Zao take a lot of really cool left turns on the CP, much in the way that they did with The Well-Intentioned Virus. So they'll sort of surprise you with some of the tricks they pull out of the bag. So that's another great EP from 2017. Next EP I would like to talk about is from the band Photocrime. That's F-O-T-O CRIME. The EP is called Always Night. Now, Photocrime is the new band slash project from Ryan Patterson, who is also known as R. Pattern. He was the lead singer and guitarist in the hardcore punk band Coliseum for a long time, who were from Louisville, Kentucky. And Photocrime is his new project. And Photocrime have a very cool sound. It's very much anchored in post-punk. And it's been described online, I think, by Pattern himself or by somebody who reviewed it. I don't remember exactly which, but that it's, post-punk that also has a sort of paranoid feel of like almost Cold War era paranoia and film noir. It's very cinematic sounding. And it's very, very cool. Patterson is definitely taking the sort of industrial and electronic elements that started to creep into the last couple of Coliseum records, which were Sister Faith and Anxiety's Kiss, I believe, and really sort of letting those run free. I felt like on the last two Coliseum records, it was a direction that Patterson wanted to go, but perhaps the rest of the band, started to feel like there were creative differences there. Maybe that's why that project ended. I don't know. But, Patterson is just free to sort of let it rip on this EP, and it's definitely worth checking out. So that's the Always Night EP. And the last EP, I'm sorry, second to last EP that I want to talk about, is an EP called the Rat Jacket from the sort of punk slash industrial duo Street Sex. That's street and then sex as in S-E-C-T-S, sects. It's hard to say that once you're paying attention to what you're actually saying. yes, it's called the Rat Jacket EP. And this is really cool. I really, really, really dig Street Sex album End Position from 2016. It's either 2016 or 2015. Sometimes I can't keep track. But anyway, what I like about the Rat Jacket EP is that Street Sex sort of explore a little bit more of a melodic post-punk, rooted sound than they did on something like End Times. End Times has a little bit harsher of a sound that's a little bit more just straight industrial punk. But on Rat Jacket, they definitely spend some more time with melody and with sort of slowing the tempo down and keeping the tunes a little less harsh and sort of extreme in some of the sampling and some of the the industrial noise and everything. And it's really cool. So I'm curious to see if they, how much of this type of sound they incorporate into their next full length. I think it could definitely give the band another dimension that's worthwhile. So the last EP that I'd like to talk about is an EP called Harmony of Difference from the jazz titan Kamasi Washington. Harmony of Difference, much like the Zao EP I was talking about earlier, feels very much like an extension of a triple record that Kamasi Washington put out a few years ago called The Epic. And it's just amazing to me that, much like with King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard having extra material from their four albums that they released in 2017, Kamasi Washington released a triple record, and Harmony of Difference to me sounds a lot like that album. This sound, sounds like it could be an extension of that record. So just talk about people who are just have music flowing out of their pores. It's just amazing. But Harmony of Difference is a very cool a cool half hour or so of exploratory jazz tunes from Kamasi Washington. So definitely check that out. It's worthwhile for sure. And it's a better sort of introduction to Kamasi Washington than the daunting, three disc or 3 hour album The Epic that I mentioned. So this is definitely a little easier to swallow. So that that wraps up the EPs that I wanted to talk about from 2017. So now we will move into my top 20. All right, so at number 20 is the record Brick Body Kids Still Daydream from LA hip-hop artist, Open Mike Eagle. It's a really, really cool record. Very, very different. has a very sort of daydream, that's appropriate, I guess, daydream-esque quality that comes through in the musical aesthetic and in a lot of Eagles flow throughout the album. So definitely check that out. At number 19 is another metalcore record from a band that has been around for a long time and who are definitely definitive of the genre and also of pushing the boundaries. It's a record called Phantom Anthem, and it's from the Pennsylvania band August Burns Red. Amazing to me that August Burns Red can just keep producing amazing metalcore albums, and evolving in their sound while also retaining all of the heaviness that was present at the beginning. It just amazes me. I don't know how they do it. It's a very, very cool magic trick. But yeah, definitely check that record out. At number 18 is the record The Assassination of Julius Caesar from the Norwegian band Ulver, who started out as a black metal band and over time have progressed to the point where they were able to make a record and a good record that has been referred to as Ulver's quote-unquote Depeche Mode record. So that just goes to show you how far the sound has evolved. And it's definitely a very, very interesting record. I love listening to not just electronic records, but any record from any genre that comes from a different place, somewhere outside this sort of sphere of the influence of the U.S. that I have. Anytime I hear a record from a band from somewhere in Scandinavia or somewhere in Europe or somewhere in Asia. It's cool because there's always slight differences that you can tell have a lot to do with traditional music from that region and just that particular artist's influences. So definitely check out The Assassination of Julius Caesar. It's a great record. At number 17 is the album Crack Up from the Seattle, Washington folk giants Fleet Foxes. It's a comeback record. Fleet Foxes were on hiatus for a while, and Crack Up is cool because it doesn't feel like the band spent too much time apart, but it also feels like an evolution of their sound. And much like Ulver, retaining a lot of their sort of heaviness, even though the sound changed, Fleet Foxes retain a lot of their sort of signature elements without sounding like a rehash of their previous material. So check that one out. At number 16 is the record A Common Truth from the Montreal artist Saltland. That's a moniker for an artist named Rebecca Foon, who's a celloist. And A Common Truth is a very sort of cinematic sounding record on which Foon approached it with the idea that she wanted to use her cello to create as many of the sounds on the record as possible. So it's very cool. It's a very cool record. Aside from her cello, there's some guitar on it. There's some electric guitar and there's a few other like electronic elements, but has a very cinematic sound. And what I really like is that Foon uses her vocals very much as another instrument on the record. They don't really take too much attention away from the music. They sort of sit in the mix and they blend in very well. So definitely check out A Common Truth. That's a very cool record. Next record at number 15 is a record called To a Deer Outside Ithaca from the Brooklyn artist, and I think I'm gonna mispronounce this, but I think it's Rup Sherns. That's spelled Rupe Sheerns, which is a moniker for a guy named Matt White, who was one of the singers and guitarist in one of my favorite bands of all time, Earl Greyhound, who were a fantastic rock band that made two albums and a handful of EPs, and then they split up, and I was depressed for a long time about that. But, I'm glad to see that Matt White is still, he's still kicking around the music scene, and he's still producing quality material. To a Deer Outside Ithaca has a lot of sort of, the rock elements that you could hear in Earl Greyhound sound, but White also explores, a little bit of electronic and like almost bossa nova type sounds. on this record, which is cool. You know, you hear sort of a different side of White, which I can always appreciate. So definitely check this record out. It's worthwhile. At number 14 is the album Mirror Reaper from the Seattle, I guess, funeral doom band, we'll call them, Mirror Witch. Now, this is actually, technically, it's an 83-minute track. It's one song. I know on the, obviously, the vinyl version of the record, the track is split up, and then on the compact disc version of the album, the track is split up into two, but it's meant to be listened to, you know, in one sitting. And this is not a record for anyone with a short attention span by any means. You know, Bellwitch already had a sort of very melancholic and, you know, some would call depressing and sort of slow, you know, doom sound before this record. And dealing with the death of, I believe it was their drummer or one of their former members on this record, they really sort of channeled that feel, that mourning and that feeling of loss that they experienced after losing a person close to them into Mirror Reaper. And Mirror Reaper is like, as I said, it's not easy to listen to. It's not easy listening. It's going to challenge you. It's probably going to frustrate you. May put you to sleep the first couple times you listen to it if you're already tired, but it is ultimately rewarding. It's very worthwhile. It's an extremely interesting and unique song or album, if you will. So definitely check that out. Give it a shot. Don't just discount it. And at number 13 is the record dedicated to Bobby Jameson by LA artist Ariel Pink, who's also known as Ariel Marcus Rosenberg. And this is a really cool sort of like glam punk indie rock record that has a kind of creepy sound to it, even though most of the songs don't come off as creepy on first listen. But definitely check it out. It's interesting. That's the only real way I can put it. It doesn't sound quite like anything else that I've listened to in the past. So, worth your time. Definitely check it out. At number 12 is the record Damn from Kendrick Lamar. An appropriate title because after I listened to it for the first time, I said, damn. So you know, Compton artist Kendrick Lamar, who's already become a legend in the current, you know, hip hop scene, just, you know, he hits it out of the park again. Do I think it's as good as you know, To Pimp a Butterfly or his debut album, Good Kid, Mad City? Maybe not as good as those, but it's still 100 times better than 99% of the other hip-hop that's coming out these days. So that's all I'll really say. Just check it out. Just listen to it. Even if you don't like hip-hop, I think there's something, you know, in this record that you'll find to like. Kendrick is just, he's incredible. He really is. So at number 11 is the album Material Control from the Long Island post-hardcore band Glassjaw, who took quite a long hiatus before making this record. I believe it was 13 years or 16 years, somewhere in there. But definitely worthwhile. And you can hear the band, you know, that the band has matured on this record. You know, it's not like, you know, some other records that I've heard from bands who have taken, you know, 15 years off, 20 years off, and then come back and put out a record that just sounds like a rehash of their previous material. Jesus and Mary Chain, not saying any names. But anyway, yeah, this record is really cool. They've sort of, to a degree, they've toned down some of the elements of their past records that I thought were a little sort of shticky or gimmicky, particularly with Daryl Palumbo's vocals. But it's just a massive sounding record. It's just a, you know, it's very, very heavy. As Kerry King from Slayer once said about one of Slayer's records, it's heavier than elephant tits, you know, in a lot of ways. So yeah, that's my recommendation. Take it or leave it. So anyway, that concludes, first part of the top 20. Now we will get into my top 10 records of 2017, and I'll sort of talk about these a little bit more in depth, even though I've been rambling already about some of these records. But at number 10 is the self-titled record from the San Francisco, we'll just say band, because I'm going to explain the sound a little bit in the description, from the band Succumb, as in S-U-C-C-U-M-B, Succumb. Now, this is just restless, crusty, blackened death music. Crusty, blackened death rhythms that are combined with singer Sherry Musrazik, I think is how you say it. Sherry Musrazik's, like, bottom of a well or bottom of hell vocals, you know, that just creates a truly remarkable and unsettling oral experience. Very much reminded me, the first time I listened to this album, of two instances from the past. It reminded me of the first time I heard Slayer's Rain and Blood, first time I heard, you know, Angel of Death, that track Angel of Death, and as a kid, not knowing what the hell I was listening to, like, it scared the shit out of me at first. And also, reminded me of the first time that I listened to the album Times of Grace, from 1999, from the band Neurosis, because that was the first time I had ever listened to Neurosis. And that scared me in a sort of different way. It was sort of more unsettling than my reaction to Slayer. The combination of the sort of music, which was, you know, metal, but sort of also sort of post-metal, before that was a term, I guess, and Scott Kelly's, very just sort of nihilistic sounding vocals, really kind of disturbed me as a, as an 18-year-old kid. And so this album sort of gave me, it provoked in me a reaction that was like almost a combination of those two experiences, hearing Slayer for the first time and hearing Neurosis for the first time. So it's creepy. It sounds creepy. It sounds wretched. It sounds disgusting at times, but it's a great album. I keep listening to it, even though it doesn't seem like I should want to listen to it that much. There's just something very captivating about the sound. And it's kind of like, watching a movie that terrifies you over and over and over again. It's kind of like that. So my favorite track on that record is a track called Survival. So check that out. All right. So moving on to number 9. It's the album The Demonstration from Los Angeles band Drab Majesty. Now, this is a album that I didn't even know about until, I think, September of this year. So, but after listening to it 3 or 4 times, I really just sort of, it didn't take long for it to catch me and for me to begin to love it. Drab Majesty, they're a rare breed. They're a band that can, both look backward and forward simultaneously within the sort of post-punk or pseudo-goth, category that I would put them in. they pay homage to both of those scenes, that in part, produce their sound while carving out, their own niche. And the element of this album's sound that I can appreciate the most is the ability of vocalist Deb DeMuir's, his ability to use his vocals as another instrument in the mix so seamlessly, much in the way that I mentioned on that Saltland record. It's the same sort of ability to use your voice as an instrument that doesn't take away from the music at all. And the album is very lush. It has a very cinematic sound, and I can't really recommend it enough. It's a great record. It kept sort of moving around on my top 10 list. It was near the top, then it was near the bottom, and in the middle, it was all over the place. So, but if a few of the other records that are in my top 10 hadn't come out, this would definitely be higher on the list. So, great album. My favorite track is a track called Kissing the Ground. So check that out. All right. So at number 8 is the album The Endless Shimmering by the Belfast, mostly instrumental band, And So I Watch You From Afar. That's a great band name. It really is, even though it's long as hell. But so Belfast, Ireland's mostly instrumental sons have taken the jubilant energy and the sort of take-no-prisoners attitude of their self-titled debut, and they've cross-pollinated it with, you know, the more emotionally introspective albums that they've put out, like All Hail Bright Futures, you know, to create a sound for this album that takes a listener both to outer space, you know, on a track like Dying Giants, and, you know, a very emotional inner space on a track like I'll Share a Life. This album is really the sound of this band at the peak of their powers and just showing remarkable control and restraint, you know, when it comes to their sound. So check it out, please do. Especially if you're a fan of, you know, instrumental or mostly instrumental bands. My favorite track on that record is the one that I mentioned already called Dying Giants. All right. So moving on to number 7. Number 7 is the record Pure Comedy from folk. I'm going to call him a legend because he's getting there, I think. Father John Misty, who's also known as Josh Tillman. So Josh Tillman, you know, on Pure Comedy, he paints a very sardonic and sarcastic mural of his vision of our society in 2017 with an album that straddles a sometimes fine line between socially conscious folk music and hard satire. Tillman never really falls over the line into, you know, something like parody, though, you know, and there, you know, gems like the title track, Pure Comedy, the track Ballad of a Dying Man, and also the track When the God of Love Returns, We'll Have Hell to Pay, explore the sort of travails of mankind clinging to, you know, religious dogma while at the same time falling obsessively in love with 21st century technology and social media. No one is safe on this record, not even Tillman himself, as he shows on the infinitely clever fourth wall breaking opus Leaving LA. This is an album that can be quite sarcastic in its tone, but ultimately Tillman's message is one of hope, I believe, and not despair. So give this one a listen for sure. My favorite track on this record is a track called Total Entertainment Forever. All right, so moving on to my number 6 record from 2017. It's a record called Brutalism, as in B-R-U-T-A-L-I-S-M, Brutalism, from the Bristol, UK punk band Idles, as in I-D-L-E-S, Idles. So, Bristol, England's Idles provide one hell of a wallop with this record, which somewhat oddly is often pigeonholed as being a post-punk record, or that Idles are a post-punk band. And it's a label that singer Joe Talbot, rejects. And I think you should as well, because I reject it too. The band's sound is more straight-up sort of aggressive punk, with some electronic sprinklings here and there, and then Talbot's sort of manic vocals. Upon first listen, Talbot very much reminded me of Johnny Rotten, but that was definitely a surface comparison because, you know, interestingly, upon further listens to tracks like Mother and 1049 Gotho, I find Talbot's vocals and lyrics to sound more authentically angry than Johnny Rotten's. And also, Talbot, I think he has a penchant for somewhat absurd lyrics, you know, and that doesn't really come across for me in, like, Sex Pistols material either. So Like I said, the Sex Pistols and Johnny Rotten is maybe a surface comparison when you first listen to this record, but that'll go away pretty quickly. So definitely check this record out. My favorite track on it is a track called Stendhal Syndrome. That's Stendhal, Stendhal Syndrome. So yeah, check that one out. Okay, so moving on to number five. My number five record from 2017 is the record Goths, G-O-T-H-S, Goths, from the Mountain Goats. So, John Darnielle, vocalist, you know, singer, main songwriter, creative nucleus, I guess, if you will, of the Mountain Goats, can seemingly do no wrong. You know, after building an extensive Mountain Goats catalog with just his voice and acoustic guitar and, you know, lo-fi recording techniques, like in the case of the classic album All Hail West Texas, he recorded it with his acoustic guitar and the microphone from an old boombox. But this album, Gods, you know, while having a higher production value than something like West Texas, is an experiment in, you know, that it's the first Mountain Goats album without guitars. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool experiment, you know, that Darnielle undertook here. And when you pair this musical approach with the, you know, the lyrical ode to the goth culture of the late 70s and the early 80s, it seems like a strange fit at first, but somehow it works, and it works very well. You know, bands like Susie and the Banshees, the Sisters of Mercy frontman Andrew Eldritch, and some famous clubs like the Bat Cave, you know, all give Goths an authentic feel, you know, in the lyrics, which is enhanced, oddly, in a way, by the laid-back, you know, at times lounge standard feel of some of the tunes, like the song "The Gray King" and the "Silver Flame Attunement." But it's not all jazz lounge fare, as upbeat tunes like "Unicorn Tolerance" and the near operatic feel of the opening track "Rain in Soho" will exemplify. So, yeah, just a great record. Check it out. My favorite track is a track called "Stench of the Unburied." That's another thing. Darnielle definitely has a penchant for, you know, having tracks that or song titles that, you know, sound like they should be, I don't know, death metal songs. But this is definitely not death metal. But anyway, yeah, check that record out. Moving on to my number four record for 2017. It's the record Heartless from the Little Rock, Arkansas metal band Pallbearer. So on Pallbearer's third full-length album, you know, these metal, again, legends in the making, I think, continue to evolve, you know, at almost light speed, somehow without losing any of their heaviness. Now, I think that this trick lies in the fact that Pallbearer know how to convey emotional weight in spades like few metal bands can even approach, let alone succeed at. You know, the rhythms on Heartless are still on the slow side, like Pallbearer's previous material. The vocals are still clean the majority of the time, you know, but there's subtle changes in the band's sound, you know, that are explored on tracks like the Judas Priest-esque Cruel Road. Also the odd sort of time signature change that's reminiscent of Tool in the opening track, I Saw the End. And, you know, the varied vocal and compositional approaches on the 11-minute track Dancing in Madness, that all, you know, really work together to create a powerful gut punch of a record. Pallbearer are the type of band who they're going to improve the metal landscape just by being themselves and being in the landscape, and forcing lesser bands to play catch up to them. So, great record, Heartless. Check it out. My favorite track is the opening track, which I already mentioned, which is called I Saw the End. Okay, so moving on to my number three record from 2017. It's the record Relatives in Descent from Detroit post-punk band Proto Martyr. This is a record that I reviewed on the last episode of the podcast with my good friend Tim Parrish. And So it was hard for me to come up with anything to say, more than what I mentioned on that episode. But I sort of tried to condense it and give it to you here. So Detroit post-punk band Proto Martyr come through with some of their most compelling tunes yet on Relatives in Descent, which is their fourth record. You know, and they set the bar high both musically and lyrically. Vocalist Joe Casey's surrealist, sometimes absurd lyrics are layered with meaning and reference, and oftentimes can be deeply profound and blackly humorous in the same song. For example, on a song like A Private Understanding. Now, Casey's sort of Nick Cave meets Morrissey in the darkest corner of a seedy jazz nightclub vocal approach rides the pulsating, dynamic wave of the band's musical attack all over this record, you know, which segues smoothly from, you know, hard-charged riffing to eerie, clean passages, you know, with a rhythm section that can sound the drums of war and drop a pseudo-disco beat without batting an eye. Even radio-friendly tracks on this thing, like the track Don't Go to Anacita, retain Proto Martyr's unique, captivating sound. It's a powerhouse of a record, and it's one that will require multiple listens, especially because Joe Casey's vocals, upon first listen, may turn some people off. He's definitely an acquired taste when it comes to the vocals, but give it a shot. My favorite track on Relatives in Descent, at least today, because my favorite track on this record switches constantly, but my favorite track today is the track called My Children. All right, so check that out. All right, so at number two, my number two record for 2017 is the record The Dusk in Us from Massachusetts metalcore band Converge. So, I mean, Converge are already metalcore legends, and they know exactly how to stay fresh and relevant on this album, because Converge know that compelling art comes from channeling universal experiences into your music and into your lyrics and your vocals. That's why a song like the opening track, which is called A Single Tear, which is in many respects about fatherhood, can hit a listener just as hard as a whipfire track like the track I Can Tell You About Pain, or the steamrolling track Under Duress, or the sort of unsettling oddity of the track Murk and Marrow. Jacob Bannon's vocal performances on this record are characteristically ferocious, you know, as if he believes every time he gets in the booth to record a vocal, it could be the last time. The rhythm section hits that out of the park once again, and Kurt Ballou's guitar work, it never fails to impress me in both its technicality and his ability to tweak his approach in order to help establish a particular, you know, personality for each record sound. The title track, The Dusk in Us, is a study in both nightmarish dread and hope in the face of desperation. In many ways, it's the encapsulation of the band on this record, appropriately, since it's the title track, and, you know, an encapsulation of perhaps, you know, the band's overall message in general, which is to embrace the darkness in order to reach the light. So, great record. It was my number one record for a long time on this list, but it did get knocked off, and we'll get to why. But my favorite track on this one is the track I mentioned called I Can Tell You About Pain. All right. So we have reached my number one record of 2017. Amazingly, this record I started listening to a month ago, and when I was posting some videos on the Radio Live Transmission Facebook, you know, community page, for my honorable mentions, at that point, this record was in the honorable mentions, and it has made it to number one on my, you know, my top 20 of 2017. It's incredible, but it's an incredible record. The number one record for me for 2017 is the record, and you can do your own drum roll here, but it's the record The Underside of Power by the band Algiers. That's A-L-G-I-E-R-S, Algiers from Atlanta. Now, like I said, this record came out of nowhere for me. Going from an honorable mention upon my first listen to currently my favorite record of 2017. To call this album a breath of fresh air is a huge understatement. Algiers' unique blend of post-punk, blues slash gospel, and industrial noise on The Underside of Power is one that does not seem as though it would compute when you hear about it, or, you know, it wouldn't compute on paper. But it works like lightning in a bottle. It's a magic of the most intriguing sort. Franklin James Fisher's lyrics, you know, explore both societal ills, as on the title track, which is called Walk Like a Panther, and also, you know, deeply personal reflections on life, as on the track A Murmur, A Sigh. This record is a musical shapeshifter. It weaves its way through so many genres, even within the span of one song, you know, like the outbreak of jangly soul on the chorus of the up-till-then electronic rally cry of the title track. The track Cleveland has a hip-hop swagger, and the instrumental track Plague Years sounds like something from a John Carpenter-inspired zombie film score. I mean, it's incredible. It's all over the place, but it all works. The pacing and the sequencing of the tracks on this record is superb. It's the best sequencing I think I've heard of, like, any record from 2017. It's not totally perfect, but it's as close to perfect as I've heard. This record just sounds beautifully raw and chaotic at times, but also very, very smoothly controlled at other times. If you're anything like me, you'll find yourself somewhat bewildered upon your first listen to The Underside of Power, if you've never heard Algiers before. But please, 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 Infinity, give it a shot. It will get under your skin, and it will demand your attention. And it certainly demanded mine. So my favorite track off of The Underside of Power is a track called Death March, which has a very, very cool remix that was done by electronic artist Purient. That's spelled P-R-U-R-I-E-N-T. So, number one record, 2017, Algiers, The Underside of Power. Just cleaning house. An incredible record. Incredible band. I need to see them live really badly, hopefully soon, if I have any money. So, all right. So, that wraps up my top 20. 2017. This was episode 16 of the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. Once again, I am Ryan, your host. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sticking with me so far. Here's to hoping that I'm able to do this for another year and many years to come. We'll see you. Everybody have a good night, and I will check back in with you guys soon. This is Ryan signing off.